exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Welcome to Life Shouldn't Hurt. I am your host, Grant Fedoruk, and for the next 30 minutes, I've got the distinct privilege of listening to and sharing some amazing, very real life stories about lifestyle, health, well-being with all you amazing people. And today, it's my good fortune to speak with Megan Clark, an expert in the field of pelvic floor dysfunction. And specifically today, we're going to talk about the different issues that men face when it comes to pelvic floor dysfunction. And if you're a guy out there and you're going through difficulties with incontinence, pain in around the pelvic floor, different surgeries, this is a show for you. Stay listening. If you're listening and you want questions, you have questions, we'd invite you to reach out. But let's get started with Megan. And why don't you tell us exactly what is pelvic floor dysfunction?
Yeah. Pelvic floor dysfunction can come in a lot of different shapes and sizes, but essentially it's when the muscles of the pelvic floor aren't doing their job properly. And the pelvic floor, if that's something new to you, is essentially a group of muscles that's inside the bottom of our pelvis. And you can imagine it's almost like a bowl or a basket of muscles, and everybody has them, men, women, even children, and they can go wrong in lots of different ways. But essentially the pelvic floor is working to control our bladder, our bowels. It can be responsible for pain, like you were saying, in the pelvis or the groin region. And then it can also play a role in sexual dysfunction.
Now, Megan, what brings people through the door when it comes to this area? What are the specific types of problems that you're going to see when it comes to men? And men, if you're out there, yes, we're going to use words like penis. It's a part of the body, no different than the elbow is, and unfortunately, in these areas, it's part of the issue. But it's more than that, obviously, because we're talking about the pelvic floor. So why don't you share with us exactly what it is, the types of problems you're seeing?
Yeah, so I'd say the most common is incontinence. And if that's a new word for you, it essentially means an involuntary leaking of your bladder. And so that can happen as we get older. That can happen as a result of a surgery or a treatment to the pelvis. For example, after prostate surgery or after pelvic cancer treatment. And so incontinence is one of the big ones that people come to us with concerns about. But the other one is pain. And that can be pain in the lower abdomen. That can be persistent testicular or penile pain, or even groin pain. And, you know, people that just have had those hips and backs that they've tried lots of treatment over the years, and it's just not necessarily getting better. It's often, you know, some underlying pelvic floor dysfunction that might be the missing link.
So what's going on there? Why is it that the pelvic floor is so important in this area? What's going on with the pelvic floor that is causing pain or incontinence?
Yeah, and you know, to kind of break it down, we need to figure out if the muscles are too weak, in which case, or like any other muscle, we need to teach them how to be stronger. But then it can also be the case where these muscles are actually too tight. And that, for a lot of individuals with persistent pain in that area, that's often more of the concern. And so when you think about a tight muscle, you know, that can be kind of confusing, because you think, well, my muscle is tight, it must mean it's strong. But the analogy I always give people is, if you imagine that you have your fist clenched, you know, that fist is tight, but if those muscles in your hand never relax, well, that hand's going to be pretty unhelpful for you.
Yeah, fatigued, and it just doesn't have the strength that it would otherwise.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting at home listening, just go ahead, make a fist, and keep squeezing for a little bit, and the analogy is correct. Now squeeze harder. There's not much gas left in the tank to do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And what happens when that is occurring? So you've got fatigue, and then the pelvic floor muscles do what specifically?
Well, they shorten and they become incapable of doing their job properly. And so that can lead to a lot of compensation and over recruitment of surrounding musculature. But they don't operate like they need to.
Today we're joined by Megan Clark, and we're talking about incontinence, but more than just incontinence, male pelvic floor dysfunction and the different things that can go wrong with men in around this area. And it's oftentimes something that we think is a woman's problem. And I think both men and women will kind of avoid this area. Do you find that's the case? Do you see that that's often something keeping people from coming in and seeking treatment?
I think it's gotten a lot better. You know, I've been working in this area now for several years, and when I first started talking to people about these issues, you know, I was met with a lot of maybe, you know, rosy flushed cheeks and some, you know, embarrassment, and people were maybe a little bit more uncomfortable talking about it. But I think since we've been talking about it on the radio and just becoming a little bit more aware that these are problems that, you know, a lot of people have, I think the dialogue has helped people feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and I think that's so important for people out there to just get more comfortable with talking about their problems and sharing them with their physicians and with experts in the field. And in this area specifically, to me, it's interesting because if somebody has a knee injury or a shoulder injury, it's easy to go to the doctor and say, I'm getting pain in my shoulder or my knee. But for some reason over time, and I think I don't think we need to say for some reason, there's this embarrassment around this field, and it's not as comfortable to share those pains that patients are having or that they might be having. And I think you touched on a really important one, and I'd love you to elaborate a little bit more on, you know, those, that back and hip pain and why that, and how the pelvic floor muscles, how they contribute to that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, just thinking about the anatomy of the pelvic floor, there are parts of it that actually attach into the hip. And so when we think about that nagging hip pain, well, you know, it's not just muscles that we can push on the outside. There's also those muscles on the inside that might be playing a big role. And with lower back, you know, we think about back pain a lot of times, well, let's get our core stronger. But the thing that we forget about with our core is it's not just our ab muscles. We have our abdominal muscles in the front. We have some deep back muscles in the back. But then we also have the pelvic floor at the bottom and our diaphragm, or our big breathing muscle, and at the top. And so if there's an issue with any one of those four muscles, then the core, it, you know, as a unit, becomes less effective.
It's such a good point. When people talk about core stability, the first thing they will assume is it's abdominal strength or multifidi, these muscles deep in the lower back. And what the important concept of core is actually the fact that you've got this wraparound stability. And the analogy I use is a bucket of water with no handle. And if you look at it, you can try to use your fingers to lift from the side of a 5-gallon pail, but you won't be able to. But if you take your hands and you squeeze it on either side, you've got this strength and ability to lift that pail of water. And I think even in my own practice, oftentimes I'll have patients that get to a certain point, and it's not that we forget, it's that it needs to be addressed, the other sides. It's not four dimensions, there's no such thing, but there's four different areas that all need to be addressed. And I think that's really important. I think that we need to get into so much more on this topic. We are gonna take a break. We'll be right back. We've been talking about male pelvic floor dysfunction, different problems including incontinence and pain. And we've been talking with an expert in the field, Megan Clark, and this is Life Shouldn't Hurt, right here on the Chorus Radio Network.
Exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Thanks for joining us today on Life Shouldn't Hurt. I am your friendly neighborhood physiotherapist, and I'm from Leading Edge Physiotherapy. Remember, you can share your ideas, stories, and feedback with us by email at info@leadingedgephysio.com or Twitter @leadingedgept. We love to hear from you. Today we've been talking about something uncomfortable, male pelvic floor dysfunction. And it's easy to say it, that it shouldn't be, but it can be for various reasons. And before the break, we were talking about what goes wrong and how people might know they've got this or different things that can occur. But I think it's important to find out why it happened in the first place. So what are the different causes? What can happen to guys out there that might lead to pelvic health or the pelvic floor dysfunction?
I think one of the definitely most common ones is age. You know, as we get older, we know our muscles throughout our whole body might get a little bit weaker. And so as we age, we might start to notice these changes in our body or in our bladder control more specifically. I think the big thing to remember there is, you know, while it might be a common thing, it's still not necessarily normal. And definitely if it is more age related, still very, very effectively treated and you know, get rid of all of that altogether.
And in that area, are we talking about incontinence? Are we talking about pain as well when that's kind of the cause?
I would say more age related, it would be more of an incontinence issue and more tied to weakness specifically. One of the other reasons that you might have, for example, pain in that area might be as a result of an injury or of a surgery. So, you know, if you've had a persistent groin strain or a tendinopathy where those tendons are just persistently inflamed, that can be part of the part of maybe why your pelvic floor isn't doing its job effectively or why that injury maybe isn't healing like it would have in normal circumstances. After surgery is another big one. If you've had an abdominal or a pelvic surgery, and that can include things like a prostatectomy, where we're having that prostate removed as secondary to a cancer diagnosis. But it can also be as a result of a hernia operation or even a vasectomy. Any kind of abdominal or pelvic surgery can have negative impacts on the pelvic floor.
Is it because of inhibition? Is that where that comes from? Or is it from the actual surgery itself, from trauma? I'm asking because I don't know the answer to this one.
Yeah, no, I think it's secondary to guarding and protective nature. Our pelvic floor is a very intuitive part of our body, and it is very reactive to stress. And so whether that's a physical stress or trauma, and it shortens and protects to guard these important organs and parts of our body. But it can also be shortening and protecting as a result of mental stress. You know, if you're someone who maybe carries a lot of stress up in your shoulders and you're always feeling like your upper traps or your neck muscles are tight and need a massage when you're feeling more stressed, well, the likelihood of your pelvic floor muscles also carrying that stress and getting shortened and tight is quite high. And it's that combined effect. It's rarely just one issue. It's often multiple issues that kind of cascade, or multiple factors that cascade over time.
Is there some things that people can do? Let's say somebody's going in for a vasectomy, somebody's going to be is booked for prostatectomy or one of those surgeries in around the pelvic floor. Is there something they can do in advance of surgery to perhaps limit the impact, or is this something that's reactive? Have the surgery and then afterwards see how it goes.
Yeah, being proactive and being planful is always the best approach if possible. And it's no different if you know that you're going to have a knee repair. You know, you're having a total knee replacement. Well, in a perfect world, you're seeing your physio beforehand. You're having your mobility and strength tested, so that you're aware of your baseline, but then you're also doing some exercises to make sure you're as strong and as flexible in the area as possible. And so just like the knee repair, the knee replacement, these pelvic surgeries or abdominal surgeries are no different. The more education you have about what the pelvic floor does, its role, its current state of being, you know, the more, I think, effective and the more strategic you can be in your recovery.
We're talking with Megan Clark about male pelvic floor dysfunction. It's just a topic that is so important to get out there and for men out there to realize there's things that can be done. And we're talking about incontinence, that's pain in around the pelvic floor, talking about pre and post surgery. What does treatment look like for somebody who's presenting with one of these issues and they come through the door and they're looking to see somebody like yourself, Megan?
Yeah. So if we go back to kind of my previous analogy about determining what's wrong with the pelvic floor, is it too weak, in which case strengthening is the approach we would take, or if it's too tight, in which case we need to teach those muscles how to relax. It really kind of comes down to figuring out what category you're in. And then from there on, we can devise a treatment plan. And so if you're in that category where the muscles are simply weak and need strengthening, well, that's where we start with those common exercises, the Kegel. And Kegels are something a lot of people have heard about. It's essentially an exercise where you're teaching the pelvic floor to contract, but then relax. And just like any other muscle, you know, starting with that contraction is step one, but then you have to work on challenging it and progressing the strength and teaching the endurance and working on the quickness or the power behind the muscle. And so that's generally a little bit of a quicker recovery. As long as you're putting in the work, the muscles will get stronger. On the flip side, if the muscles are too tight, teaching them how to relax can be a little bit challenging, but it's something that we see every day. And it really comes down to first just figuring out how you can connect with your pelvic floor. How do you visualize it? Are you able to start to appreciate maybe things that you do on a daily basis that contribute to that tension? For example, a lot of us, you know, we squeeze in our tummy, we're sucking in our belly all day long, and we don't really even think about it. You might be sitting here in your car listening, and you might be squeezing your butt. You might be pulling your knees together, and those are things that can also contribute to that tone. And so just becoming mindful of that habit is a great first step. And then from there, figuring out if it is, you know, more of a potential stress, you know, anxiety, depression, if there's some mental health component, then, you know, potentially seeking out some counseling or some treatment more specialized in the mental health area. From a physio's perspective, teaching things like breathing and doing strategies to help settle down our nervous system, and stretching and kind of that would be more of the approach if the muscles are too tight.
Do people have to go to their doctor before they come see you or an expert in the area of pelvic floor dysfunction?
Yeah, no. As a physio, you know, we're first line healthcare practitioners. And so it really just comes down to calling your clinic and, you know, explaining your concern and then getting pointed in the right direction and seeing your pelvic physio.
What's the main takeaway that you might want to leave the men out there listening to the show today who are facing this challenge?
I think the big thing is just know that you're definitely not alone. These are concerns that a lot of people have. I'm busy every day seeing many men with these types of issues, and the treatment is really successful. You know, I've had lots of patients with chronic issues of incontinence and pain and decades of you know, history of these kind of concerns. And there's hope. There's things that we can do to not just improve the situation, but fix it.
And it's done in a professional atmosphere where people can feel comfortable and share their story with you so that they can go through the healing process. I think that's important for people to hear. Thank you, Megan, and thanks for joining us, everybody, today on Life Shouldn't Hurt on the Chorus Radio Network. We're here to make our difference, and that's inspiring people, educating and sharing stories, and just a chance to leave our communities healthy and vibrant. You're an important part of this journey, so help us out. Don't forget to share our show with people you care about. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. You can also check out helpful tips on common injuries and recovery on our YouTube channel. They're all called Life Shouldn't Hurt. Until next week, everyone, I'm Grant Fedoruk. I appreciate your time and your trust. Thank you, Megan, for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Be well.